theyeshiva.net.
Purim Katan. Toiv Lev Mishta Tamid. Okay. Shnei Smidim, yeah. It's a beautiful part of the Chida. The Chida writes, today's his yard set. Yud Gimel, yeah? Yud Gimel Adar Aleph, yeah? Yud, or Yud Beis? The Chida was Rabbeinu Chaim Yosef David Azulai. He was one of the great rabbinical figures in the 18th century. He wrote, how many Svarim did he write? Probably 50, 60 Svarim. He was a great, great man. So he says that, say Birchei Yosef, it's also brought in Shaira Tshuva, it's brought in Svarim. The opening of Shulchan Aruch, the whole Shulchan Aruch begins with the words, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samad. The Ramah begins, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samad. I place Hashem before me always, constantly, Tamid. That's how Shulchan Aruch begins. And the Ramah says, with that mindset, that consciousness, that's how you live your day, that's how you begin your day. What's the end of Shulchan Aruch Erech Chaim? This is the beginning. Erech Chaim has tough reish tzadik zayin, 697 simanim, 697 sections. The last simon is about Purim Katan, because it goes through the daily life. It's called Erech Chaim. Erech Chaim means the way of life, and it goes what you do every single day, right? So you have the halachas of waking up and going to the bathroom and brachas. And of course, tzitzis and tefillin, and you have the halachas of kriya shema, davening, blessings, benching, all that. It also goes through all the holidays, so such Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, and then all the holidays from Nissan, from Pesach, you know, Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Chanukah, all the way to Purim. And then the last siman deals with Purim Katan, because Purim Katan is not a year; it's only on a leap year. So the last siman is a machlokes. The Ramah brings two opinions. Is there a chiyuv to make a meal and a feast on Purim Katan or not? On Purim, we know there's a mitzvah, one of the mitzvahs of Purim, one of the four mitzvahs is to have a suda. So one opinion he brings, I think the Torah in the name of the Rif, that there's a duty, there's an obligation to make a suda and a mishta on Purim Katan. And then he says, Einoyagin Kain, it's not the minhig. Jews didn't accept this as a custom that, you know, everybody has a suda on Purim Katan. But he says, it's good to be Mayr Bektas, it's good to increase in the meal and in feasting and celebration on Purim Katan because of that opinion. Lotzis Yedei HaMachmirah. And then Ramah finishes, his last words is, V'toiv Lev Mishta Tamid. A good heart is always feasting. You wouldn't think the whole Shulchan Aruch Erech Chaim would finish with this line. Usually Shulchan Aruch is associated with a different feeling, right? But that's how the whole Erech Chaim ends. V'toiv Lev Mishta Tamid, which is a pasuk in Mishle. A good heart is Mishta Tamid. You're always ready, what you would say, you're always ready for a party. Always. Not just you're ready. Mishta Tamid, you're always involved in a feast. So the Chida says that, it says in this week's parsha, Shnayim Layoim Oila Tamid. Right, also in Parshas Pinchas, it's a carbon tamid. Lamb in the morning, the lamb in the evening, and all the avodas in the Beis HaMikdash were sandwiched between the two tamidim. Between the two tamidim means the carbon that was brought every day, constantly, tamid. So everything was sandwiched between the two tamidim. As hakeva sechatas v'abayka, shnayim layoim oila samid. Shnei tamidim layoim. Like we say in Abaya, have a mesada seder amaracha, Allah hashlam, kol ha-karbonas kulam, that the last tamid was the end of all the karbonas. So he says in Shulchan Aruch Erech Chaim also, which is the daily avodah of the Jew, there's two tmidim. There's the Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samit, and there's the Toiv Lev Mishta Tamid, one at the beginning and one at the end, and everything is sandwiched in between these two states of consciousness, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samit and Toiv Lev Mishta Tamid, which come together. That's the Chidazva. That's what you meant, yeah? Shnei Tmidim Kel Chasam, yeah. Shivisi Hashem, yeah? That's the first thing. Moida ani lefanecha, melechai v'kayam, shechazarte b'nishmasi b'chem l'rabba b'nasecha. And that means, first and foremost, also, that I have a soul, which is a chelek elokam imal. It's not just God somewhere in heaven. It's who I am, neshama shenasata bi tahirehi. Which I guess leads us right into our maimer. I didn't know how the connection will be made, but thank you. The dynamics of the whole avoida of nefesh, ruach, neshama that we spoke about. So we spoke about nefesh, ruach, and neshama of the divine soul. And now in chapter 6, Perek Vav, which is page 291, he discusses nefesh, ruach, and neshama in the animal soul. Okay, today's class is dedicated by Reb Nochum and Chaya Litkowski in honor of all their grandchildren. Thank you very, very much. Asach nachas, l'arichas yamim v'shanim tovus. Come on again. And so let's remember the summation. You have neshama, ruach, and nefesh. We discussed neshama. Neshama primarily is the koyach of seichel, right? The cognitive ability, especially bina, understanding. And then you have the ruach, which is connected to the middas, the emotive experiences of the soul. And then you have nefesh, which is connected to implementation and execution. And as he said, since the soul is rooted in Atzmus Ein Sof Baruch Hu, it's rooted in Mamash Hashem's core, Hashem's essence, we call it a chelek elokam imal. So essentially, the soul resonates, it vibrates every divine manifestation and embodiment. So since Atzmus chose to be manifested also through intellect, through ideas, through wisdom, through awareness, so the soul expresses that. And the same is true with midos, emotions. And the same is true with action. So that's the nefesh and the ruach and the neshama that's connected to the divine soul. That was the main point we spoke about at length in the previous classes that we had. Now we continue chapter 6. This is the maimer of Reishis Goyim Amalek, Tovshin Tesavav Purim. And he says, Ach zel umma ze asa lekim. We started last time the two lines. Everything is zelo umazah, we know. The Pasuk says in Kaihelas, every balance, every force has a counterforce. Thesis has an antithesis. Zelo umazah, Hashem made that everything is zelo umazah. So in other words, there's always a competing force, a counterbalance. And that allows there for there to be choices that a person makes. Shagam ben nefesh ha-bahamas yeshnam gimel ha-bchinas din ha-shamer ruach nefesh. So when we speak about the animal soul, the animal consciousness, there's nefesh, there's neshama, and there's ruach, and there's nefesh. The av shenefesh abahamis ikra midis, interesting. Even though the primary identity of the animal soul is midis, it's emotive, and we'll see in a moment why, because it's focused on survival. So therefore, truth, ideas that represent truth are not its main point. Its main point is midas. That's true. But but the nefesh ha-bahamas, don't think it doesn't know how to philosophize. Don't think it doesn't have intellect. It has seichel also. Huh? Either you could say it's not a complete behaima, or that we don't know what a complete behaima is. Even a complete behaima. And sometimes the seichel of a behaima could be very, very sharp, very acute, in order to serve what it needs to serve. And certainly it has the element of nefesh, which is execution, actualization, pael mamash. Just like we spoke in the nefesh alikis. There's the way the divine is manifested through the awareness of the nefesh, of the soul. That's called neshama. Nishmas shaddai tevinim, the pasuk says. Neshama is associated with havana. Just like the divinity, godliness is vibrates, it flows through ruach. That's the midas of the nefesh alikas. Like he spoke, ava, the capacity for love, the capacity for awe, passion, emotion. Nefesh is the way godliness flows through nefesh, which is that the soul is sensitive to action. It'll do certain things, it won't do certain things. And it's not just one is born from the other. It's just like a natural effect. But the main thing is neshama. Now, each one is a special koyach. It's a capacity. It's a fuse of the soul. And different souls are more sensitive. You have a person that primarily he or she operates on a level of nefesh, on a level of ruach, on a level of neshama. It says in Gemara, right, that we're all limbs of one, it says in Yerushalmi, Masechet Nedarim, we're all limbs of one body. But all limbs are connected to each other. That's what a body is. It's one organism. And the DNA in each one has the blueprint for the entire organism. But yet, the heart has its function, and the brain has its function, and the legs have their function. So, Moshe says, Atem nitzavim ayom kulchem lefnei Hashem alekeichem. Atem nitzavim ayom kulchem. But each person has, within the collective organism of the world is like a guf gadol. Each creature has its unique purpose, even though it's one. The same is true within the organism called humanity. Chaviv Adam Shenivri B'Tzalam. The same is true within the organism called the Jewish people. So you have those that their uniqueness is neshama. Those, their uniqueness is ruach. The hearts of Klal Yisrael. Everyone has a heart. You can't live without a heart. But these are unique hearts. They experience divine consciousness through the heart, through emotion. And others who experience is through maisa. Acute awareness of doing and not doing. What to do, what not to do. And the same is true with mayach. With Nisham. So in order to understand this, we have to understand a little bit about the animal consciousness. What do we mean when we speak about Nefesh HaBahamas? We spoke about it many times. It's based on the idea from Reb Chaim Vital in Tanya, the Balatanya brings in the first chapter, Reb Chaim Vital. Rabbeinu Chaim Vital has a sefer called Shaar HaKedusha. Shaar HaKedusha and Eitz Chaim. And there he teaches that every single person, every single Jew has two souls. No one has the Nefesh HaBahamas and the Nefesh HaLikis. And this is the main theme, or one of the main themes in the Tanya, the first section of Tanya, where the Bala Tanya explores this at length. Because we operate not on one level of consciousness, on two levels of consciousness. One is the animal consciousness, one is the divine consciousness. And as we said in the beginning of the Maimer, we don't call it only Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. The Gemara in Bracha says we have a Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. Based on a pasuk in Bereishis, it's by Yitzir Hashem Elokim Asadim, by Yitzir with two yuds. So the Gemara says, there's the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Hara means literally a positive inclination and a negative inclination. You're pulled to do good. A Yetzer is an instinct or inclination for Tov and Ra. When you say Nefesh Elokim, Nefesh HaBahamas, Nefesh is a whole umbrella. The soul is a whole personality. It's a Koyma Shleim, it's a whole identity. A Nefesh represents an entire life force, which includes awareness and emotion and instinct and habit and reaction and patterns, behaviors and thoughts and words. And it's a whole nefesh. It's a ganze Welt. It's a universe that lives in you. Like it says in Tanya, every nefesh has all the 10 spheres. So there's Chachma and Bina and Das and Chesed, Gvur, Tiferes, Netzach, Chod, Yisod, Malchus. And then it has its garments, its thoughts, its words, its actions. And when you say you have two nefashes, it means there's like two lives in you. Two possible lives in you. Two full identities. Now, there's no such a thing as divorcing one from the other. Because the Nefesh HaBahamas is what's called in Tanya Nefesh HaChiyunis. Which means, when it says in the Torah, Nefesh HaBasar B'dami, the soul is in the blood, that's the Nefesh HaBahamas. It's the animating force of the body. It vivifies, it gives life to the entire physical organism. So there's nothing the Nefesh HaLikis can do in this world without the Nefesh HaBahamas, without the guf. When you speak about the body, the guf, that is the Nefesh HaBahamas. It's the Nefesh that fills and saturates and gives life to the body. But not only life as a in a functional way. That too. All the functions of the body, all of the biological systems that we have, all of them. The digestive system and the circulatory system and the respiratory system and the urinary, all the systems, all literally every system in biology, what is behind it? The nefesh, the soul. That's called nefesh achiyunas, the nefesh that roifich al-basar, or mafli lasas, the Ramah says mafli lasas is the fusion of soul and body. That's all included in the umbrella that we call nefesh hativis, the natural soul, nefesh achiyunas, the vivifying soul, nefesh abahamas, the animal soul. Nefesh hasichlis, the rational soul. This is all to guarantee life. What life? Physical life. And the Nefesh HaBahamas has one concern. Its concern is survival, which is very, very important. And we have to be thankful to it, because that's how we survive. We survive through it. Survival and comfort. to be able to survive like a mensch, or even like a behemoth, a behemoth also, to avoid pain, embrace comfort, and it's responsible for life. So it's responsible for all the systems that make sure the body is alive. This is called nefesh achiyunis or nefesh abamas. So generally we talk about two souls, nefesh elikis, nefesh abamas, but in each one there's so many different dimensions. You could subdivide it into a lot. In each one, as we just see, in each one there's nefesh, there's ruach, there's neshama, there's chai that's in each one. But generally you speak about the nefesh elikis and the nefesh abamas. Nefesh asichlis is part of the nefesh abamas, generally. No. In fact, we'll see it's the bridge between the two. The nefesh ha-sichlis is the bridge between that the two souls can have a conversation is only through the nefesh ha-sichlis. Now this is important to understand. The nefesh ha-bahamas is not bad. Chas v'shalom. Not bad. It's actually very good. It's actually very beautiful and very good. It's responsible for life. Pikuach nefesh is doiche kol ha-Torah kul. It's responsible for life. But the nefesh ha-bahamas, its focus is how to survive. So therefore, very early on, even before birth, it starts scanning for any information it can get about life, about its environment, about itself, and it creates a map. And the map is a very primitive and basic map. It's called danger versus safety. And it learns very fast what is dangerous and what is not dangerous, what it needs to avoid and what it needs to embrace. And it will fight for this because it needs to protect itself. Today we know in neuroscience there's a part of the brain called the amygdala. It's the stem of the brain, the lowest part of the brain, and considered the most primitive and primal part of the brain. And then the other parts of the brain develop on top of it, above it, and later. You know, until age 24, 25, 26, the brain is not fully developed, even though at 18 you know everything, but your brain doesn't know everything. You know everything, but your brain doesn't know everything. And some of us, even at, you know, 89, still don't know everything. The amygdala is like sitting on a watchtower. It's a shomer. It's sitting on a watchtower, and it's alert 24/7. It doesn't go to sleep because it has to detect danger. And danger doesn't necessarily mean danger in the most extreme fashion. Danger means anything that's going to harm me. Yeah, it may be unpleasant. Certainly may be dangerous. Danger is also not physically. Danger can also be emotionally. Every soul needs attachment. If this is a place where I feel rejection, maybe physically nothing will happen, but this is a place where there's going to be rejection, I'm going to avoid it. And also, the nefesh abamas develops a whole pattern of life that by the time I'm, you know, 6, 7, certainly 5, 10, 20, never mind 40, 50, 60, the nefesh ha-bahamas already has been working very, very hard for many, many years to keep me alive. I did, they had a Kesher Nafshi fundraiser this week, so I did a interview with Rabbi Shimon Russell. He's a therapist, Lakewood, today in Yerushalayim, for like 40 years, almost 40 years a therapist. So he told me he's seeing over, I don't know, like probably around close to 10,000 children and teenagers. It's a lot, you know, to speak to them over months. So it's experience, you know. People often have theories and opinions on chinuch and education. You know, when married women who just got married a year ago and they have a carriage, Baruch Hashem, and they write opinions how to deal with your teenage children. So I often ask people, how many teenagers did you actually sit with and deal with? And there's nobody. He just says opinions. So when somebody actually works with people, there's value in it. Eichachem Kabbalah Nesayah. So he was describing something, and it was It was very painful, but it was a very vivid description. He said, if a boy is sitting in a yeshiva for 10 years, and every day he feels like a failure because he can't really grasp the material. And even if he's fine, and the people are fine. We're not talking about chas v'shalom, an abusive situation. A good, a fine principal and a fine teacher. People who mean, they're talking about a good people. They mean well. Not like a guy told me he was in a school and they made a goylem tish. A goylem tish every year. A place where they put the goylems. And he told me he was zoicha to be there every single year. Or the Binareinu Biskaneinu story, which for those who have been here for a few years, you know the story. We're not talking about that necessarily. I once had a teacher and he said, he came into the class and he said he's greater than the Maharal of Prague. We were little kids. Maharal of Prague had one goylem and he has 19. And then he added, and the Maharal's goylem didn't know how to talk, and my goylems know how to talk. And he was so proud of his joke. He was so proud of his joke. I don't know if anyone in my class understood what he said and internalized it, so it may have been, not been damaging at all. I never spoke to my friends about it. But I still remember that he said it, and I remember how happy he was with his sense of humor.
Who's the projector?
Whatever. I didn't complain. Actually, I thought it was funny then. I don't think I internalized what he said. I didn't think his perspective on the nature of children is halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. But it was just an interesting thing to tell. It's not what you walk into a classroom. I mean, I don't think that's the message. I hope I'm not saying a big chiddush here. So Rabbi Russell was saying as follows. He said something very powerful. So this kid is sitting, but he's four kids in the class finished Sisha Sidri Mishnah before the Bar Mitzvah. He would have loved to, but he can't. He can't. Not only he didn't finish Sisha Sidri Mishnah, he didn't even finish Seder Zrayim. Not only he didn't finish Seder Zrayim, he didn't even finish Maseches Brachos as Bar Mitzvah. He had a Bar Mitzvah. He said his Shetel, he said his Maimu, whatever he said. And he's day in, day out, without anybody doing anything bad. He's just feeling that I am a loser. I am a loser. I am a loser. I am a loser. He says at some point, this is prolonged trauma. It's developmental. It's complex. There was no shock. There was no accident. There was no massive abuse. But what happens is his brain is telling him this place is a place that causes you what? It causes you to feel worthless. Nobody can survive that way. A person cannot survive feeling worthless. A person cannot survive feeling worthless. You can't. So this means that the brain knows that this environment is a place you want to avoid. And then he says once he becomes mature, more mature, has more courage, has more guts, is older, not dependent on certain people for food and survival, what's the first thing he's going to do? He's going to detach. And if he has a little more guts, he's going to completely leave. So I asked him, so why does he have to stop putting on tefillin? Why does he have to stop putting on tefillin? What's that? What's the tefillin guilty? He said, because whose system is this officially? This is God's system. This is God's system, the one who said to put on tefillin. So when he sees tefillin, what does it remind him? It reminds him of worthlessness. What does Shabbos remind him? And he says, the challenge is, what do his parents remind him? And that's going to be the choice of parents. Will the parents also reinforce that? I look at my father, I look at my mother, who represent the system. They put him through this yeshiva. And let's understand, these are good, we're talking about good people. We're not talking about people who had any negative intentions. Fakert. They wanted their kids to be happy, and they wanted their kids to be healthy, and they wanted their kids to be proud, and they wanted their kids to be fulfilled. We're not talking about narcissistic mishugayim who couldn't care less about people. Why is this important? Not to blame, not to judge, but to be sensitive, to understand how your nefesh habahamis works. This is very, very important. Awareness of the animal consciousness is awareness of self. The nefesh alikis doesn't live in heaven. It doesn't live in a vacuum. It lives in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Beis HaMikdash is called the body and the animal consciousness. That's the keli for the shechina. If the soul is the Shechina, Yeah? This is the most beautiful description of Chassidus for the guf and the nefesh of Ba'amis. It's a keli for the Shechina. You can't break the keli. You don't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. It's an issur to break even one brick of the Beis HaMikdash. Why? God is a brick. Hashem is a brick. You're not allowed to destroy bricks. No, because the brick in the Beis HaMikdash is a keli for the Shechina. Lo yisasun kein l'Hashem alekeichem. Hanoisitz. The Rambam says, Hanoisitz even achas. If somebody even demolishes one stone, I said brick, one stone from the Mizbeach, from the Heichel, from the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, it's an issur min ha-Torah. Lo yisasun kein l'Hashem alekeichem. A shul also. What does that represent? V'asu l'miktosh v'shechanti b'soy chom, not b'soy choy. Said v'shechanti b'soy choy. So Chazal say, the famous Rishis Chachma, the Alshach, the Shalom, b'soy chalechad v'echad. The Beis HaMikdash is you. So you have the Beis HaMikdash, and you have the Shechina.
I wish they would know it in yeshivas.
You wish they would know this in yeshivas.
My son was persecuted in yeshiva for going to gym.
For going to the gym, he was persecuted. Yeah, I'm sorry, and it affects him till today.
Yeah.
We can't break the keli. If you break the keli, you break also the nefesh alikis. That's what the Baal Shem Tov once said. It's such a powerful word. The Baal Shem Tov says in Parshas Mishpatim. Kisida chamor seinacha, roide roivitz tachas masoi, v'chadalta me'azoiv loy ozev tazev ima. What does it mean? When you see the donkey of your enemy and it's crouching under a heavy burden, and you say to yourself, I don't want to help him, it's my enemy's donkey. So the Torah says, ozev tazev ima. There's a mitzvah sesim in a Torah, go help the donkey lift up, lift itself up, remove the burden, help it with its burden. Don't allow the donkey to be tortured that way. Even though it's chamor seinacha, lo tuchal italem v'chadalta ma'azov la'azov tazovima. So gam katuv al hashavat aveda. So the Gemara asks him psachim. I think kuf yud gimel chamor seinacha. What happened v'haftal reicha kamoicha? Since when do Jews have enemies? Well, I don't like your nose. I don't like how you made my kuf. I mean, what's this chamor seinacha? So the Gemara says no. It's al pitayda. Huh? He did an Aveda, and you know it, and you can't be the best and can't do anything about it. There's no two Edas. Right? And it says in Sfarim there was mitzvah toichicha. You have all the good reasons in Torah that there's a mitzvah to hate him, or at least a heter to hate him. And the Gemara says that oyev is soina, soina adif. If there's two people with donkeys, one is your friend, one is your soina, go to the soina. Why lakufis yitzray? To challenge yitzahara. Frektosis, what's lakufis yitzray? You hate him al pitayda. What's the lakufis yitzray? So Tosfos answers, Tosfos in Psachim, I think. You can think of Tosfos. Kamayim aponim laponim. If I hate you, you also hate me. So I hate you more. So he says, from the Torah suddenly becomes hatred. It's very hard to keep it. I only hate you al pitayda. I hate you, you hate me, I hate you. He says, there's a good luck of a yitzhar here. Don't worry, the yitzhar is also involved here. So the Baal Shem Tov teaches as follows. Kisida, you see how he teaches a pasuk. Kisida chamor. You're going to see chamor is the letters chomer. Chomer means the material, the physical, chumrius. Right? Chomer is called the physical. Kisida chomer, chamor. You're going to see your own chomer. Which means your donkey, but it's your own donkey. Your own chaymer. Roivitz tachas masoy. Etzaynacha. And this donkey is your enemy. It's telling, it's whatever your neshama wants is saying no. I don't want to daven. I don't want to learn. I don't want to, it's a tzaynacha. Roivitz tachas masoy. Hashem gave it a burden. Torah mitzvahs. It's crouching. I'm not interested. Roivitz. It's crouching under the burden of Torah. So what are you going to say? V'chadalta me'azoy v'loy. You'll turn him into your enemy. I'm done with my chaymer. I'm done. You ignore it. You suppress it. You don't listen to it. Why should I help you? You're my enemy. You're a donkey. What do you do with a behemoth? Get him out. You can't. Mamish get rid of your goof, but you can treat it like as a halba pilegish. Huh? Splinter it, repress it, ignore it, not hear it. Certainly not deal with it. Say it's a goyisha mentality. You're this. You're that. You're this. Yeah. 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 Yeah, if you could kill it, if you can't kill it, at least parallel, I mean, at least, you know, let it be silent. So the Baal Shem Tov says, he says, Loi bezu haderech yishken oir ha-teira. This way the light of Torah will not dwell in the person. Azov tazov imai. Levadidai lahaloisai ulasaknai. This is your Beis HaMikdash. You need to elevate it. You need to sublimate it. Imai. Azov tazov imai. There must be a symbiotic connection. Your guf is not a mistake. Your neshama has a relationship with the guf. It's like it says in Svarim, there's a marriage. There's a marriage between the two. It says in Zohar that Avraham is the neshama and Sarah is the guf. So did everyone ask the question? Chayesada Tovshin Yod Aleph. This is before he even became a Rebbe. He's in the Fabrengen. He said, so how is Pshat Hashem tells Avraham Avinu, Koyla Shatayma Elecha Sarah, Shma B'Koyla. Whatever Sarah says, listen to her. Since when do we tell a Jew, whatever your body says, listen to your body. Really? We're always told, don't listen to your goof, right? Listen to your neshama. What were you told in Cheden? Huh? Was lachstel? I don't even know how bad it was. Huh? He says, there's no such a thing as a goof. It doesn't even exist. It's just fiction, okay? I told you I didn't know how bad it was. I saw your laughter that this is already the next level. No such a thing. It doesn't exist. And in mental space, you can live that way. You can live that way. It's like some physical thing that's schlepping around with you. You know, somebody puts a washing machine on your shoulders. I'm fine. So I'm a washing machine now. How did I get into that? What was I just saying? So it's called Shetem Lechasar Shema B'Kayla. So the Rebbe said, the Moedah Dikavod, it says in Baba Basra, in the first Pedek, that Ha'avis Hitimon HaKadosh Baruch Hu Me'en Olam Haba. The Avis lived now in a state of Geula. In a state of Geula, you're going to see that the Guf, it's Kulei Elikus. It says by Mashiach, Oni V'Roichev Al HaChamor. Mashiach is going to come on the donkey, through the donkey. Nobody can hire a BMW for Mashiach. From all the gvirim that we have in Muncie and Lakewood, nobody can hire a nice car for Mashiach. Much smaller rebbes than Mashiach go on very nice vehicles. Mashiach will only have a donkey. Scharia couldn't imagine at least a horse, a camel. Okay, I know Scharia didn't have cars. Ford didn't make cars in the times of Scharia, but Ashena Behemela. You mean the Middle East? The Middle East, you need a donkey. So it says, Avraham Avinu went on a donkey, Moshe went on a donkey, and the Gemara it says in Pirkei de Rebbe Lezer, Rashi means it was the same donkey. But Yashkem Avraham Baboyka Vayafresh Chamayre was the donkey. Moshe put his wife and children to go from Midian to Egypt. It was that donkey. Allah Chamayre, Hu Achamayre, Rashi means Hu Achamayre. This is the Chamayre of Mashiach. Bilam had a Maisa with a donkey. So the Maharal discusses this. The Rebbe explains it in the Sichus. It's all the same donkey. The Hafla de Kavar. What does it mean, the same donkey? So this donkey is basically 4,500 years old. Where is this donkey? I would like to see him. And Lamaynafkin, let's say there is a donkey that's 4,500 years old. I mean, God could do whatever he wants. If he wants a donkey to be 4,000 years old, you have in San Francisco trees that are 4,000 years old, so maybe you want to make a donkey. But the question is that really so important? And if Mashiach comes on a new donkey, not on Avraham Avinu's donkey, why is that so relevant to the story? It's a hafla de kivort. The whole tachlis of Bria Sa'olam was to elevate the chaymer, to elevate the chamer. That's the whole tachlis. In that, there's three stages. There's Avraham Avinu, there's Moshe, and there's Mashiach. It's all the same donkey. But in each stage of history, the revelation could be more intense and more intense. Avraham Avinu, he himself doesn't go on the donkey. He doesn't put Yitzchak on the donkey. He uses the donkey for the wood, for the sword. Eitzim, the machelis, he puts on the donkey. Because later he takes it off and he gives it to Yitzchak. So the donkey is like an accessory. It's used for your tools, for your instruments, for your objects. Moshe Rabbeinu, it says his wife and his children he puts on the donkey. Doesn't say about himself. Mashiach, Oni v'roichem alachamoy. So he said it's three stages in the elevation of the Chaymer. Avraham Avinu is the beginning of everything. Avraham Avinu is the first one to say, Vayikra Sham B'Shem Hashem Kei Lo'elam. There's fusion in the world. There's no war between religion and science. There's no war between gods. And there's no war in yourself either. So the Chamar could become subservient, could be part of your Avodas Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu is already before Matan Torah, it's going for Matan Torah. It's already Ishtoi Kegufoi Dami. It's already a partnership. Ishtoi Kegufoi. B'nok Haradavu, the children are part of a father. By Mashiach, it's already he himself, Ani V'reichav Allah Chamar, he's going to be revealed through the Chamar. Through the Chamar is going to be revealed. So that's what the Baal Shem Tov says, Azev Tazev Imar. Because when you understand, and what's behind all of this, when you understand the mechanism of the Guf and the Nefesh HaBahamas, you understand you're not dealing with evil. You're dealing with a process that needs to be dealt with because the Behemah has learnt and acquired tools to protect itself. Back to my conversation, I asked Reb Shimon, what about the tattoo? Why does this kid need a tattoo? This is a painful conversation. What's the tattoo? He said, because in his Nefesh HaBahamas, what does the tattoo represent? The tattoo represents safety. It shows that I'm cutting off completely from that which reminds me that I'm the loser. And what's the most extreme fashion? If I could show my grandmother, who says to him twice a day, that I really, really am completely from a different world. The world of tattoos. So this is where he completely, finally, in his mind, this is safety. Now, of course, the tattoo doesn't create safety. Tattoo doesn't create safety, and not putting on tefillin doesn't create safety. But you have to understand what the Nefesh HaBahamas does. The worst thing that parents can do, then, is reinforce that lack of safety. And he told me a story that he heard from the Bala Maisa. It's quite a story. This is not something you could tell somebody to do, but it's a Maisa Shahaya. There was a kid who left Yiddishkeit and unfortunately went very, very far. Saw that he's getting a tattoo. And we know what the Torah says about getting a tattoo, right? This is a very sensitive story, and this is not a rule. I'm just telling you a Maisa Shahaya. The father decided that for him, in his case, his relationship with his son is pikuach nefesh. It's an issue of survival for the child because of how he feels about himself. So he told the boy, I'm coming with you to get it and I'm paying for it. And the father is standing there with the son. And the guy, this happened in Israel. They went to what's it called, tattoo parlor. It's called a parlor, right? Anybody here knows? Okay, I think it's called a parlor. The Yaakov Emes? Okay, UCLA they didn't have?
I see it also combined with like other kinds of things, like people that want to sell their services for other things.
Yeah. So he said he's at... Yeah, I think it's called... So he's in, the kid is there in Israel. The father's there with him, standing there. He's paying for everything. And the father is Ayid, with Payas, on a langer board. So imagine this scene. And the father is analyzing all, because there's so many different options, right? So the father's busy with the chkiris and the pilpulim, what's the myland is, what's the chazan is, as though this is his goal in life. But what was he thinking? One thing. I need my son to associate me, his father, who's a Shem material mitzvahs, with safety, not with danger. And this was his only way. Couldn't sit and learn with him Gemara. Come, let's learn Gemara. He couldn't even give him pizza. Couldn't even take him bowling. Bowling won't do it. Maybe when he's 8 years old, bowling can help. Or pizza can help. It's very good to have pizza. You can eat the vegetables. The kid will eat the pizza. But at this point, this was the only form of connection. So he decided this is for him, pikuach nefesh. So he's standing and doing the chkidis, and Anna, because he's paying for it, so he anyway became a manda amar. Anyway, the guy, the... I'm not now talking, I told you, this is not a halacha, this is not a psak halacha, I'm not a pesik, I'm not giving any psak halacha. Huh? I'm not telling you to practice this at home, Rabbi Yosef, I'm not. No, the chkiris he probably did with his own rav. Over there, the chkiris was, what's the gedder of the tattoo they're going to do? Is it going to be a male of this, huh? The color, the style, the shape. You can have a skeleton, you can have a mug and David, you can have ich weiswas. That's not my expertise, but I see this variety. In the airport, you could see this variety. You do psukim, pro-Israel, you could write about Israel, huh? You could do pro-Hamas, huh? Really? Okay. Yeah, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin about Eliakim. You know, Eliakim was one of the last kings. So he wanted to be moided in Hashem. So what did he do? Chakak. I don't even know if I should say the Gemara, but you can look it up. Chakak ba'amasai. He put Hashem's name where? By his bris. That's a meshugana. He's Yehoyakim. I said Yehoyakim. He's the Caliglia of the Jewish people. Out Sudreta. And a meshugana and a retzeach. Maybe not such a meshugana. Anyway. The guy who's doing it starts the avodah. And the father moves away a little bit because, you know, it's like, and he hears the guy doing it. He starts crying. And he turns to the boy and the boy says, what happened? I'm going to try not to cry. The guy says to the boy, if I would have had a father like you, I wouldn't be doing this here today. I grew up where you grew up. I didn't have a father like you. That's what he told him. Shimon told me the father told him the ma'isa. The boy today is a shayma teiro mitzvah without a tattoo. You typhus? What would be the instinctive response of the father? In my house? In my house? Right? Now the kid comes home Friday night. And he doesn't come home with two. He doesn't come home walking Friday night. He comes home a different way Friday night. And we all know what Shabbos is and the Chumrah of Shabbos. I'm talking about all this boy who suffered from the complex trauma. Now the father walks over to him and says, in my house, you don't walk around like this. Shabbos is not a day for this. Arayis, go find yourself a house of Shkatzim. What just happened to the amygdala? What did the brain, the Nefesh HaBahamas, tell this boy? The last place that I thought maybe was safe, my bedroom. It's a little place. I have a little bed over there. My mother's kugel. The last place, it's also not safe. Bye-bye. And the fascinating thing is nobody, the parents did not mean bad. The father's an Erlich Yid. He's trying to do the right thing. If you ask him the next day, he says, this is Ratzon Hashem. And he says, we're talking about sincere people. We're not talking, you understand, we have egotistical, obnoxious people. We're not talking about those people. Because it's much more subtle. So I'm talking about now extreme situations. But let's talk about less extreme situations. Everybody has a Nefesh HaBahamas. And every Nefesh HaBahamas learns how to cope. And the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, all the middos that we call middos ra'os, essentially they're all attitudes, emotions, the Nefesh HaBahamas develops in order to cope. And that includes anger. It includes resentment. It includes hatred. It includes jealousy. It includes arrogance. It includes depression, he says. The first chapter of Tanya, it includes laziness. Laziness is also a coping mechanism. When I have what to live for, I'm not lazy. If I'm excited about something, I'm not lazy. Laziness is a great coping mechanism. Oh, I'm lazy. I'm not lazy. There's something bothering me. There's always something deeper. Fear. Tremendous fear. And in every situation, I'm going to respond differently because I already drew a map. What's safe? What's not safe? And it's not. This is so nuanced. And the self-awareness of this allows me to begin to understand what the Nefesh HaBahamas is detecting as danger, what it's telling the guf. And the guf and the Nefesh HaBahamas are so tight because they're like one entity. So they respond immediately. And there's no way the mind can communicate to the body without the nervous system. The nervous system is the language that the body experiences. The body is not a philosopher. The body is chomer. The body's language, the way the mind communicates to the body, is through the nervous system. So we start giving drushes to our nefesh ha-bahamas, to our guv. They never got the memo. They don't sit through speeches. You asked, how do we implement this? We always have to know the language, right? If I'm talking to you French, I may have a good French, but you don't understand French. You always have to know the language of the nefesh ha-bahamas, of the guf. You have to understand its language. It's a different language. Different frequency, always. You have to tune, you have to be sensitive to it. So now this is the Hakdama to understand a few of the Yesoidas of the Nefesh HaBahamas. We came into this world not to ignore our Nefesh HaBahamas, to work with our Nefesh HaBahamas. To work with it. Azev Tazev Imay, to work with the Guf, to work with the Nefesh HaBahamas. So the Rebbe said, since Avram and Sarah were living in a state, the Gemara says, Me'ein Olam Haba, Olam Chatir B'chayecha. So Me'el Hashem told Avram, Koil HaShetayim Re'elecha Sarah, Shema B'koila. Whatever the goof says, you have to listen. Because really the body picks up truth. The body, as they say, the body keeps the score. The body picks up all truth. You can't fool the body. The goof knows, the goof waste. When the goof is feeling tight, when the goof is feeling scared, the body is responding to something. It's sensing something, it's detecting something. Now, we're not so trained with awareness of the body. We're better trained, go into the mind, forget about your guf. But the integration is critical. And that's the whole kavana of Dira B'tachtoinim. So, koila shetayim elecha sarah shema b'koila. Every person has to know what Sarah says. You have to listen to Sarah. By Avram Avinu, he could trust Sarah completely because the guf was completely attuned. It was refined. So he could trust it completely. We have to listen to the guf and see what's... Yeah. And you understand the Nakuda here? That's why it's called Nefesh HaBahamas. Nefesh HaBahamas. So Nefesh HaBahamas also has Nefesh, and has Ruach, and has Neshama. Its primary element is Midas. Its primary element is its emotional relationship to life. That's why it's called Nefesh HaBahamas. Behemoths have a lot of emotion. Elephants have tremendous amount of emotions. Dogs. A dog is called a Kelev. It says in Ma'ir Yair, in Kabbalah, Kelev is Kulay Lev. They call it man's best friend. Yeah? Even a mouse and a rat, you'll forgive me, there's emotion. And you can see it, you can manifest it. Never mind monkeys and chimpanzees. There's so much connection over there and tribal connections and attachment. You know, you could see the documentaries about how elephant moms mourn the death of their calves. It's very, very moving. You ever saw? I once saw a video of elephants, right? There was drought and an elephant had a baby and the baby died. Baby couldn't walk so much and didn't have enough food. And months later, the elephant family came back to the place that they left from. And the mother stops by the skeleton. It's all skeleton. There's nothing. It's all skeleton already. And she stops there and just stops and stands there, you know, with her trunk, rubber, caressing it. And then afterwards, the whole tribe comes, like after the mother. So I don't know what the elephant was feeling. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. But you see, a behemoth, there's intense emotion. Somebody sent me once a clip. There was a group of monkeys, and a monkey died, and they're comforting each other. They're all hugging each other. They're all like hugging each other, like comforting each other, watching this corpse. So, lahavdil, the human nefesh ha-bahamas, yeah, needs, Echel nechabur shemes, yeah. Yida kal echabur. So there's deep emotional connection. That's why it's called the mammalian brain. There's a part of the brain that's considered like a mammal, the nefesh ha-bahamas. There's nefesh ha-chiyunis, nefesh ha-tivis, nefesh ha-bahamas. And then there's also neshama. Neshama is associated with nefesh hasichlis. In the brain, it's called the prefrontal cortex. That's the part of the brain that's less primitive. It grows later. It keeps on developing. And that's the part that can actually make relaxed decisions. Sit back, be very objective, and think about long-term priorities, short-term priorities, delaying gratification, what's right and wrong. It can be patient. It can be reflective, introspective. It has that ability to be extremely self-aware because it's not responding from a place of danger and instinct. It's responding from a place of reflection. Now we have to understand something, and this is very important. I mentioned it last time. If somebody is going through or went through difficult situations, so their amygdala may be triggered faster than most people. Especially if they're in constant danger or they're in a home that's a very dysfunctional home, their amygdala may be on 24/7, 24 hours a day because it's danger. You're like a soldier in Gaza. You don't sit and relax. You're not in a joyful, serene place. You're in a danger zone. You're in a war zone. And some people, even living here, they're in a war zone. They may not know it, because if I grew up in a war zone, the sound of bullets is normal. So these people, their amygdala may be triggered once a day, may be triggered 24 hours a day, may be triggered very, very often. And when that happens, they're not in their prefrontal cortex. They're not in a place of neshama, of the Nefesh HaBahamas. They're in a place of survival. And therefore, they are not capable of making those decisions at all. I'm not in that place. And very often I come into a situation and that part gets triggered, the danger zone, and they don't even know it. So if you felt unsafe in your home, you weren't seen, you weren't soothed, you weren't safe, you weren't secure, anything 50 years later that triggers that same lack of safety, my amygdala says, danger, 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 you are not safe. And suddenly your wife looks at you, she doesn't know why, you just go crazy. What's the geshef? What just happened? What happened? You don't know. You yourself don't know. And if this has happening for so many years, I'm so used to it, there's no awareness around it. There's no awareness. This is instinctive. This is the behemoth back to nefesh that knows what to do and what not to do. Now you have to hide. What does hiding mean? Hiding doesn't necessarily mean going into a closet. Hiding means I can't connect. I can't talk. I freeze. I'm paralyzed emotionally. I disconnect. I disassociate. Fakert, I'm a good person. I don't want to be confrontational. Some Nefesh HaBahamas, they disassociate because they don't want to fight. They don't want to fight. They don't want to be confrontational. They're too embarrassed. Maybe they're even kind. So what do? I disconnect. If you disconnect emotionally, you don't feel pain. If you don't feel pain, you're safe. And it happens to be my worst enemies will be those who are trying to make me feel. So in yeshiva, I'm a bacher, it works well because I don't have to feel. I just have to learn the Bakiv Eger well. So I use the brain that analyzes and it's perfect. But suddenly this same boy gets married and his wife doesn't want to hear the Bakiv Eger a whole day. I don't know why. She wants an emotional connection. So she starts talking about emotions, starts sharing his emotions. He hasn't shared his emotions since 3 years old. He hasn't felt his emotions since 3 years old. He couldn't. Once that happened, he couldn't feel emotion anymore to survive. Suddenly you want me to feel emotion, so you're my enemy. You're trying to put me back in a danger zone. So suddenly his own wife, who loves him, becomes his worst enemy. He loves it in shul, because in shul you can make a kiddush and talk about other people's emotions. Or b'chal not talk about emotions. You could just make a macha against emotions. So it works. So in shul, he's the most popular guy in the world. He makes the kiddush. He runs everything. He's the Baal Chesed. He founded Hatzalah. He does everything. And he's actually a good guy. But he never learned about his coping mechanism. I just took one story, there's another 7 billion stories. For every person, there's another story. And this is not, you don't judge it. You have to be sensitive to it. Because the behemoth is actually trying to do the best it can. But like every behemoth, it can grow into a big monster. The little puppy can become a German shepherd. Well, the puppy doesn't become a German shepherd. The small German shepherd becomes a big German shepherd. And the small monkey becomes a greater monkey. And the small chimp becomes a big chimp. And the cub becomes a lion. And the baby tiger becomes a tiger who was going to maul anybody who comes in its way. So that's where the Nefesh HaBahamas is big and aggressive and powerful and frightful, or very, very small and tiny and afraid, and usually the two work together. The bigger the bite or the bark, you know, the more scared it is. And the animals get very, very scared. It has a lot of logic, but the logic is fueling survival. That's the part, do you understand? The logic fuels survival. So it has a lot of logic. And it fuels comfort. The logic could be very, very deep, very sophisticated, but it's all focused on self-preservation and self-gratification. No matter what, that's its job. And you have to thank it too. You have to thank it too. I sometimes have to turn to my Nefesh HaBahamas, who's going crazy, and I have to say, wow, thank you for working so hard for 51 years trying to keep me alive. And I'm sorry that this is the type of reactions and emotions and instincts you had to develop in order to survive. I'm sorry. Because it did it without bechira. It did it when I was 4 years old. It can't afford to be open, to be relaxed, to be present, to be loving, to be compassionate. It's not the amygdala. There's a fire burning. You don't talk about compassion when there's a fire in the house. We'll talk about compassion tomorrow. Huh? I thank him because he was doing the best he can with the tools he had to keep me alive. That's why I thank him. And he didn't charge. He really tried hard. Now, he may have developed very destructive patterns. Very destructive patterns. He probably did. I may be completely isolated. I can't have an emotional relationship. I may not be able to feel. I may be disassociated. I may be filled with anger. Filled with anger. Angry. I'm just angry. I'm angry. I'm terribly angry. And it's an interesting thing you see with people. They tell you they don't feel. I don't feel. But anger they feel. It's an interesting thing. People will tell you, I don't have emotions. I don't feel. Everything is fine. Nobody gets it. But suddenly, anger, oh my God. It's an interesting thing. Because anger allows you to stay in hiding. Because anger means you're the sick person. Right behind it is, I'm in a lot of pain. That I don't know about. Anger means you're the sick person. My wife, my kids, my shver, my shviger, my rabbi, my community, Hashem. Anger allows you to project all the pain on someone else and you always feel better. It's a very powerful coping mechanism. I can't control you. I can't change you, but I can be angry at you. Kol HaKoyos Kilo Oved Avodah Zarah really means anger is the ultimate demonstration that I'm alone in the world. I'm alone in the world. I'm really alone in the world. Behind it is always pain. So I thank it, not because I want to live this way. I thank it because I can appreciate what happened. And the moment I do that, I have bechira. If you don't understand your Nefesh HaBahamas, you don't have bechira. That's the key. People always get annoyed. Some people get annoyed with these classes. It's like, what happened with Bechira? Tell ye Yetzirah, no! Like, stop all these maisalach. It actually takes away our Bechira. You know why? Because it does everything instinctively. And I don't even know it's happening. The moment you understand it, you can say, oh wow. So it's actually not me. It's not my essence. Oh, so I can choose different pathways. But the body is not feeling safe. I could talk to it. This is called elevating your Nefesh HaBahamas, being mechanech, educating it. It's training an animal, but it's not just an animal. It's the human animal. It's the animal that the divine soul chose to live with and to be there. And the truth of the Nefesh HaBaham is, the Alter Rebbe says, has koiches that the Nefesh HaLikus doesn't have. It's even rooted in a higher place. Behemah Rabbah. To Yaakov and Esav, Toyu and Tikkun. The Behemah comes from a very, very high place. It comes from a world that's even higher than the Nefesh HaLikus. That's why the Nefesh HaLikus goes down to it. It's really, V'rav Tvuos B'koyach Shor. A Shor can do what a person can do. V'rav Tvuos. The great, great, the Bechol of Avcha B'Shnei Yitzarecha comes Dafka through the Nefesh HaBahamas. Asher Lechein. So what's the summation of all of this? For this, we must understand its language. Like the father with the son, yeah. I could tell the son, get out of my house. You're making me sick. And the father feels that way. You're making me sick. You're destroying our family. There's not going to be no shidduchim for our family. My girl is not going to get into seminary in Yerushalayim. And my boy is certainly not getting into yeshiva, even in Muncie, never mind in Israel. I can do that, and I understand. I understand the father very well. From our prefrontal cortex, we can have compassion. We can understand. We don't have to judge. Now we have to respect the fact that sometimes I'm not living there. I'm in a very alert state. I'm anxious. I'm in a lot of anxiety. So you don't tell anxiety, stop being anxious. Try it out. See how well it works. Because the body, the nervous system doesn't go to shiurim. It actually does, but it listens in a different way. It doesn't look for my words. It looks for my body language. It wants to know how calm I am. It wants to know if it could trust me. Right, the most important thing in communication is called meta-communication. It's not the words. It's body language. It's safety. I got a very moving compliment. I don't know why I'm saying this to you, but I'm saying this to you. I finished the interview with him. It was like 3 hours. So he said, you know, you really bring out the best in me. I say things that I usually would not say. So I was very moved by that. And he thought and he said, you know why? You provided safety. I felt safe to talk. Now he's talking about somebody who's not 2 years old. Somebody's doing this for 40 years. And I understood the value of that. Do we provide safety for people to talk? Yeah. It's not what if I say, you're safe! You're safe! You're safe! That's what the Hamasnik monsters did, some Chastayra. They came and they said, we're the Israeli army. Open the door. Right? They spoke in Hebrew. Yimach Shemot. I can't provide safety through words. I provide safety through presence. In the Akdama to Tanya, the Alter Rebbe says that the Tanya is, he wrote down basically the Echidusin that he had with his students, with his Chassidim. So he has a Lashon over there. He said, how can you put into a sefer Eitzis and Avodas Hashem? From our countries, they used to come to me. He said, they come to me. Asher, these are his words. Asher hoya hadibur shel chiba, motzui beinenu vigilui lefonai kol talumois libam umoicham b'avodas Hashem. There was a conversation of love between us. And they revealed to me all the secrets of their heart and their brain in Avodas Hashem. Aleihem titoif milasi ulashayni yetzefer bekontrei semelu anekayim b'shem lakutei amarim. So I once told somebody, if you read a perek in Tanya and you don't feel a conversation of love, you obviously didn't understand it, because the author himself wrote that he's recording a dibur shel chiba. I know some of you learn Tanya, and the Tanya is an intense book. If you don't hear in every perek, Dibur Shel Chiba, you didn't understand what he said, because he himself wrote in the introduction. Hadibur Shel Chiba, there was a conversation of love. I didn't force them to talk to me. They didn't need to talk to me. They love talking. Vigilui Lefanai Kol Talumais Libam. They reveal, he says, doesn't say some of their secrets, everything that was inside of them. Kol Talumais. How do you do that? How do you do that with somebody? You can only do that if you're safe. If I'm going to tell you things and I'm going to feel judged and denigrated, and then I'm going to feel, at some point I'm going to stop. This only comes from providing safety. That's the language that the goof can relax. The amygdala can say, ah. So when I'm talking to my child, if I'm not providing safety, he won't be able to connect. If the kitchen is the danger zone, I'm not going to stay in the kitchen. I'm going to go somewhere else. And I'll say this even, and the same issue with your spouse. You know, we talk to our spouse. If she's not feeling safe and you're not feeling safe, you're not going to talk. You're going to yell at each other. And even if you're both nice people and you're both nice people, you're not going to yell at each other on the outside. You'll yell at each other inside. I told the women this week in the Tuesday class, somebody shared with me. Said, why is it two people are in a room, yeah? A small room. And they're angry at each other, so they start yelling. Why are you yelling? You're right here. You suddenly see a husband and a wife or whatever. They're yelling. You're right here. Was schreist du? The answer is physically you're close to each other, but emotionally you're distant. What do you do when somebody's very far? You scream. You know that they're far from you, so you scream. You know why you're screaming? Not because their ears can't hear, because their heart can't hear. You're trying to overcome the gulf and reach them, so you're yelling. What happens when there's love in the room? You see, everybody speaks quietly. You start whispering. Why are you whispering? Why are you whispering? There's no bug here. The FBI is not here. The Mossad and the CIA are not here. Why are you whispering? You whisper, right? You say, I love you! You whisper. Divrei Chachamim, benachas nishmayim. Says in Kehelas. Because when you're in touch with Chachma, Kayachma, bittel, benachas nishmayim. You know why? Because you can hear me. Because your heart can hear me. So it's fascinating. You see how it works? The first day is the pshol. Kimi Hashem she'iltiv. Yeah, you'll see. So why are we yelling? We don't know, but we're yelling because you're not here. I want you to be here, and I think by yelling, I'll get you here. So when there is this state of connectivity, the animal soul could start hearing things. And this is what he's now going to say in this seif in the Maimer. I wasn't stam trying to hakachainik about the Nefesh HaBahamas. This is the foundation of self, of the inner work of connection. Nu, are you going to ask me a stida from Zvachim? You mean Perek Chavtes and Tanya? Perek Chavtes and Tanya. Yeah? A log, he brings from Zoya, a log that's not catching, you're trying to make a bonfire. I know, Perek Chavtes and Tanya. He says, a log that doesn't catch on fire, what do? You splinter it. You splinter it, right? You cut it into little pieces, and then it'll catch on fire. So the Alter Rebbe brings it, Gufa de Lei Salik Beinahoyde Mevachin Lei. That's what you mean, yeah? The guf doesn't catch on fire. When you splinter it, you give it oxygen. You let the fire penetrate. When we hear the word bitush, the Alter Rebbe is talking in the Perek Chavtes, a certain situation. It's called Timtum Halev. Timtum Halev means, as he puts it, the shell has become so thick and so dense, I have no access to me. The complete dullness of heart. My heart is complete jail. And it's thick. There's not even a communication with my heart. And he says, and at that moment, you have to be very decisive with that part that is completely eclipsing you. It's going to have to be opened up. It's going to have to be broken down into pieces. It's going to have to be splintered because it's not allowing any access to the self. And you have to be very, very precise and concise with how dysfunctional it has made you. It has made me. I have to be able to call it and call it out on its name. How dysfunctional. How it stripped me from my humanness. It stripped me from my awareness. It stripped me from my sanity. It stripped me from my sobriety. And it stripped me from my dignity. It's a process of splintering that is completely redemptive. It's emancipation. It's literally, my heart is in jail, and there's a lock, and another lock, and another lock, and a gate, and another gate, and a security system. And because whoever built this prison didn't want me, my heart, to get out of prison, it constructed such a security prison, I don't even know there's a heart anymore. So I'm not even connected to that part.
Even if Moshe Rabbeinu take you off
Moshe takes me out of Mitzrayim, I run right back. Nitna roish v'na shuvah Mitzrayim. I run right back. It's the only place I know. Here, without splintering, I can't even begin the process. At the core of it is compassion. At the core of it. But I have to know if I'm so dysfunctional, I really have to, like, you have to take the bull by its horns. What does he say there? You have to call a loylam yargiz adam. Yeah, he says you have to say, "I'm a shuket, and I'm a nuvul, and I'm a tuv." Kechol hachshemus shakaru loychachamenu zal behemus admosai. What are his words? Admosai taster lefonai oydein seif barachol. Haya hayve v'yiyeh b'shavu. You hear the word? Admosai taster lefonai oydein seif barachol. How much longer will you eclipse the infinite light that I really am, and that's me? Oh, that's good. Admosai taster lefonai oydein seif barachol. And it may not even respond to that, but if I'm consistent and I'm authentic and it knows, it'll be able to open up. But it's not because I'm trying to. It's not about self-destruction. It's self-liberation. It's self-emancipation. It's the most compassionate thing you can do. Put it in its place. It's the most compassionate thing. Okay, so now let's learn a little inside another few minutes. And see the Varter. I think now will become clear. The third line in Pedagog. Beprati Yisoyser. Hinei Avonah Vasogah the Nefesh Abamas Pchinis Neshami Boifun She'enu Shayachas La'avonahs Vasogahs Ruchnim V'Nailim. Kiyim La'avonah Vasogah Binyonim Gashmim V'Chumrim. You have to understand how the Nefesh Abamas works. Its natural comprehension is not going to be transcendence. It's not going to be divine spirituality. It understands gashmius and chumrius, meaning it's an animal. It's focused on self-preservation. So it understands things. But its focus is inyanim gashmi v'chumrim, which means its language is relating to things that are tangible to its life and will give benefit to its life, whatever that means. It may be an intellectual by nature. There are curious animals, curious George. And it may like to do mathematical, do jigsaw puzzles and mathematical riddles. That's its fascination, it's a curiosity. Or it's very utilitarian, it's very practical, very pragmatic. It may even become a master of sciences in a very, very real and tangible way. This is what it's looking for. Whatever it is, to satisfy its curiosity, to get a good career, I'm intellectual by nature. But essentially, the focus is survival, whatever that means, to the Nefesh HaBahamas. And sometimes people become very, very scholastically successful for validation. The founder of IFS, his name is Mr. Schwartz, Richard Schwartz, so I had an interview with him. So he told me that he lived in a family of doctors. His father was a doctor, his brothers. If he wasn't to become a doctor, then he needs a doctor, yeah? Like the good old Jewish comedian who's already on the Olam HaEmes, Rabbi Yaakov Maza, also known as Jackie Mason, would say, right, if you have a Jewish boy and he's normal, a doctor. If he's a little slow, a lawyer. If he's very slow, an accountant. But besides that, you're not a B'chal Yitzur Adam. So sometimes, yeah, Dr. Schwartz was telling me, your whole scholastic achievement is simply to get validation. It's called to give nachas. If you're going to do X, Y, Z, you're going to give nachas. As we say, you're a nachas to your father, to your mother. So sometimes that also becomes a coping mechanism. We have to understand. So behind all its gainess is what? A sense of worthlessness. Yeah, and it happens quite often. It's a sense of worthlessness. I'm not going to be a person. That's an extreme. It may not be so extreme, but the Nefesh HaBahamas has a lot of seichel, but ultimately its seichel relates to what it relates to. V'ilu lahavana v'asage elikis eina shayeches klal. The Nefesh HaBahamas is not shayech on its own to divine comprehension. What does it mean, divine comprehension? A comprehension of elikus. When we talk about elikus, now we're going very aid. What's elikus? What's elikus? A lakus is the inner rhythm of existence that's behind everything, but it's centered, it's a language of transcendence. It's not the chaymer, it's the tzura. The nefesh ha'bamis doesn't know, what do you want from me? Was willst du von mir? I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I need a little covet, I need a little attention, I need a little money, I need a little validation, I need to feel safe, I need to feel comfortable. If you can use God for that, I'll use him, I don't care. I'll use a tissue box, I'll use God. But it's a different God, that's a nefesh ha'bamis God. Karl Marx said, right, religion is the opium for the masses. You give me Tylenol, give me God, turn God into a Tylenol is good. It's fine. It's a time, I have a headache, fine. But the Havon of Elikus, the Nefesh Elikis, it's whole Asag is Elikus. That's what it is. It's Teufis Elikus. What's Elikus? Elikus is the Ayin before the Yesh. Elikus is the no-thingness of existence. Elikus is the Kol D'mama Daka. Of infinity. The Nefesh HaBahamas doesn't, I don't know what you're talking about. What infinity? I need to survive. I don't need to be infinite. Ubishvil zet, zriche Nefesh HaLikis, lisyageye, biyegiye, rabbe, vatsume, gresegam, Nefesh HaBahamas, taschilov, and asage HaLikis. The Nefesh HaLikis needs to work hard to communicate to the Nefesh HaBahamas, Elikus. This is quite a, the Rebbe said this on Purim, so usually he wouldn't speak like this. I'm just telling you. You see different people. You tell them, I don't know what you want. Not people that can learn, they could learn. I could learn. A Shia Gemara, they'll come alive. They'll be alive. Why? It has a beginning, it has a middle, and it has an end. Give me a shur, give me a para. Tell me how the shur gored the para. And they're alive. They're taka alive. And it's moedidik. It's toidus Hashem. Not kas v'shalom to be minimize it. But you start talking about pnimi sateira, ein lem bazeh shum geshmak. It's like, was willst du? What are you talking about? He says, why? They never felt the nefesh alikis. They never felt it. It's not, again, it's not, it's, you have to be open to your nefesh alikis. Not only don't have a geshmak, they don't know what you're talking about. I can't have a geshmak if I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have a havana in this. What's violent? It's like hacking a chinek. You're talking about things you don't know about, I don't know about. Like, I need a beginning, I need a middle, I need an end. You know, the structure is very different. Give me a beginning, give me a middle, give me an end, give me something I can grasp, I can see, and tell me, fine, what's the halach, and that's it. Talking about Atzilus, if you're Teufis Elikus, right? Somebody asked me, how do I know I understand a little Chassidus, I relate to it? I said, you'll open up a Likud Torah, yeah? You'll start reading, and you'll start feeling ecstasy. And you'll be grateful for this. So it means it's resonating. You're getting it. The Nefesh HaLikis is an ecstasy from Pnimi Yisatayra. It's like, it has wings, it soars. Tzama lecha nafshi, kama lecha b'sari. Achla lekim doimi nafshi. It's like sometimes you hear a niggin, right? And you're in a different world. Like, wow, don't stop the niggin. When the neshama hears Pnimi Yisatayra, don't stop. It doesn't need anything else. Yerav loy, we say you didn't know. Yerav loy, you did oisecha minoifes tzuvachol tam. Your friendship is sweeter than all the honeycombs in the world. All the sushi in the world, all the money in the world doesn't come close to one moment of Ein Sof. Because Ein Sof is the source of all bliss. Where does all bliss come from? The bliss we have in our world, yeah, from Shviras HaKelim, is a little fragment of the source of bliss. The Makar of Tainug is Ein Sof. Remember, there's no bliss in the world that doesn't come from Ein Sof. So Pnimi Yisatayra, which is a Hizgalus HaLikus, that when somebody feels their soul, it's like...
That's what we want to share every day.
Huh? You want the Shia, say 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But I have to work on my Nefesh HaBahamas too. I can't just give a Shia. I also have a Nefesh HaBahamas to work on. You think you're the only one who has a nefesh Bahamas? So Moed de Kamai said, Alter Rebbe had a chassid, Rabbi Yekusia Liepler. He was at the Hoyben Yid and a very funny person. And the first time he came to Alter Rebbe, he jumped. He was athletic. He jumped on the windowsill and he jumped in through the window. Alter Rebbe looks at him. He says, Rebbe, hakmir arab de linkezeit. Chop off my left side. You hear? A Yid asks the Balatanya, hakmir arab de linkezeit. In other words, get rid of it. I'm done. So the Alter Rebbe was wearing Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. The Alter Rebbe sat in tefillin for most of the day. He was wearing Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. And he went into a dveikus. He closed his eyes. He like went into a spiritual trance, so to speak, for a few minutes. And then he opened his eyes. He looked at him. And he got up from the fence. He was on the window. Come down from the window. You know, you could land. And then he said these words in Yiddish. He said, Sishteit va'ata mechaya es kulam. Zayem oich mechaya. The Torah says, the Navi says, we say in the morning, va'ata mechaya es kulam. You give life to everything, the nefesh of Bahamas too. The left side too. Zayem oich mechaya. You be like Hashem. Give life to it. Yeah. He said, chop it off. Give it oxygen. Give it divine oxygen. Give it divine oxygen. But how do you begin this? It's a different. The nefesh alikus is a different language. The nefesh alikus is kulei alikus. It's a language of alikus. When it hears about alikus, it's alive because that's its nature. That's its fabric. The nefesh abamis is you have people that don't have a geshmak. They don't even have a havana. Shazel mitzad is gabrus nefesh abahamis because the nefesh abahamis is powerful in them. And this is a very edel avoid. You're talking here about the Yidden who could be big Talmidei Chachamim in Nigla. They like the structure Judaism that they can master. You understand? I can control it. Again, we're not talking in it. This is not a net. We're not talking negative or judgmental. But this is something the animal soul can verstehen Ashtikel Gemara. If it's a certain type of animal soul, it even becomes its geschmack. There's a lot of intellectual stimulation, right? Just like Lahavdil, you have been people who chachmas chitzoniyus, they're amazing. Mathematics, algebra, trigonometry, physics, astronomy, science, they gemoyde de kazachen, biology, and they really, really excel in it. Lahavdil, this is chachmas atayda. But essentially, I'm telling you, to put him the kamayim, the Rebbe usually put him, but essentially, you didn't go away from your nefesh abamas. You relate to the Judaism that you could control more. It's very tangible. So the animal says, okay, I'm fine with this. Now, this is, it's a fine thing for the nefesh abamas to do. Much better than a lot of other stuff. But essentially, this is gabas nefesh abamas. Shemitzad atzma ena shayeches laavones vasagas binyanim she'enam chumrim oy lechol apachis enam gashma. On its own, the nefesh abamas doesn't understand anything that's not chumriyizdik, that's not brute, crass, or at least it's not physical. Two levels. The nefesh abamas, if it's not chumri, don't talk to me. If it's not crass, don't talk to me. But then the nefesh abamas, at least it has to be gashmi. It has to be tangible. I don't need it to be chumri. Chumri is brute. Chaymer. At least gashmi. It has to have physical dimensions. V'lachein inyan shel pnimiyus ha-Torah ha-sagel l'kis eino miskabel v'eino munach atzlam. Es hotnit b'zeh ken upleg un ken klep. Those were the yuds in Yiddish. Hotnish ken upleg un hotnish ken klep. You know what an upleg is? Upleg means it doesn't settle inside of me and hotnish ken klep. You know what a klep is? Doesn't stick. In yeshivish language, yeah, the Jews say it's a hotnish can klep. The svara hotnish can klep. It's a klepnish. It means it's ridiculous. So he says some people, the whole pnimi is hatayr. It's hotnish can klep. It doesn't connect. There's no glue. It's like you're talking Chinese. You're sitting in a room. Somebody's 10 years is talking Mandarin. At some point, hotnish can klep. You may be even intelligent. I don't get it. Everything. The Nefesh HaBahamas is so smart. Of course. We're going to see. So here you have Havana. The Nefesh HaBahamas has Havana. It's an intellectual. But this element, it just doesn't resonate. He may learn it and learn it and read it and read it, but it doesn't resonate. It's not like, ah, the geschmack. You can't force this. It's not a force. It's the Neshalikis comes alive. It comes alive with Pnimi Satayra, with Chassidus. Then you have the ruach of the nefesh abahamas. What's the ruach? Shinyanu ham shachas nefesh abahamas. Shoyev is kol inyanim agashmim. V'yare mikol inyanim sheichel levalbel lenatik. I say uprise in the million gashmim. The nefesh abahamas, as we said, its focus is life survival, and therefore it loves everything that will contribute to it, and it's afraid of anything that will cause him uprising and will cause him to be detached from that which it perceives as life and pleasure, which is the world of the Gashmi world, whatever that means for a person. For one person, it's food. For another person, it's validation, covet, attention, money, whatever it is. But I am the animal is going to be very emotional about it, and it's going to have both love and fear. And therefore, it will create protectors. In other words, it will avoid anything that will compromise its ability to be able to be a functional animal. And as a result of that, I may create entire mechanisms of defense because of my fear. Because of my fear to be torn away from whatever I need to be torn away in order to be a Nefesh HaBahamas, I am going to construct defense mechanisms, and I'm also going to create those mechanisms in order to be able to pursue what I have to pursue. There could be so much manipulation in my life, exploitation, control. But all of that is one thing. It's rooted in the Ava and the Yira. I'm afraid of certain things, and I crave. It's crave and love, because this is what I perceive I need. This is the physical life that I need. This includes crushes on people, crushes on things. It includes all types of cravings and all types of fears. And we all construct very, very impressive systems in our brain that control and navigate. When you're having an intense emotion towards me, towards anybody else, very positive or very negative, there's something behind it. It's not stam. It didn't come from nowhere. You threaten me. You actually make me at peace. You I like. You I really don't like. You I'm going to get close to. You I'm not going to stay away from. And the same is true parts in me that I like and that I don't like. We create all of these things because the Nefesh HaBahamas lives with this Av and this Yid. It's afraid of being pulled away and taken away from anything that will make it less safe, that will cause a danger. V'zeu klolus inyan amidus Nefesh HaBahamas sha'ave v'yidein binyanim gashmim v'chumrim. The Ava and Yira, it's very intense. An animal loves and an animal is afraid. An animal runs and an animal runs away. It recoils. But it's all focused on the tangible and the physical and the material that I can describe as important for my safety, important for my gratification. Just like in Kedusha, there's what's called Midos Sichlim and Midos Tivim. Midos Tivim are natural, innate emotions. They're primal emotions that are not born from intellect. They're not born from meditation, from contemplation. And then there's Midos Sichlim, Midos that are like born from Sichl. We explained earlier that all middos are rooted in a place that's deeper than seichel. It's like children. Parents bring children to the world, but the soul doesn't come from the parents. It comes through the parents. The same is true with middos. But in middos itself, you have middos seichlim, like a baby. Without the father and mother doing the work, a baby is not born. The seichel is like the parents. The father is called chachma, the mother is called bina, abba, ima. And then you have the middos, are called the toldos, the children. The father needs to do the work. It's his bainanus, it's contemplation, more awareness, more contemplation until you develop an emotion. That's called midas sichlim. Midas tivim are midas that are more ingrained. You still always need some awareness, but it requires a minimal amount of awareness because this is just ingrained. It became a survival instinct. It became a coping mechanism. It became an emotion that doesn't require says Nefesh HaBamis also has these two things. You have a Nefesh HaBamis that is more sophisticated. It developed priorities. It thought about things. It contemplated things. And then you have the Midas Tivim of the Nefesh HaBamis. This is the map that it drew up very, very early on, and it's ingrained in its nature. This you love, this you hate. This we go to, this we stay away from. This is danger zone, this is not danger zone. This is a place I can be present, this is a place I can't be present. So usually the Nefesh HaBamis is Midas Tivim. It's all the map of that amygdala very early on. And it's governing our emotions. But he says, don't underestimate. The Nefesh HaBamis also has Midas Sichlim. Develops a whole philosophical thing. Some Nefesh HaBamis are very philosophical and even theological. And as you say, even spiritual.
Does it understand that Hashem guarantees its survival?
It knows I have to survive and I'll do whatever I can. Whatever I can. And every midah is fueling that. It's fueling self-preservation. That's what it wants. That's what it needs. And that's what it does. It does it very, very well. All of its instincts are around that. Huh? Baruch Hashem, yeah. The question is, which level of the Nefesh HaBamis are you talking about? As we said, there's Neshama, there's Ruach, there's Nefesh. That's what he says. There's the Seichel of the Nefesh HaBamis. There's Midas of the Nefesh HaBamis and Midas that come from Seichel. He says, that's why you'll have a Nefesh HaBamis. If it doesn't go into depth in the goodness of it that it should understand, it won't have a Sheiches. But sometimes, he's not about Seichel, he's not using Seichel, but you're still pulled to something. Because the whole Nefesh HaBahamas, its understanding and its middas, are focused only on that which gives me survival, physical and material, I could become submerged in it, my heart is drawn into it. So the heart often becomes plugged. I'm not sensitive anymore to the inner music of life. I'm just like living by rote. You know, they have in different states of there's different different frequencies you could be living in. Right? There's the frequency of guilt, there's the frequency of shame, there's the frequency of fear. These are frequencies. Very, very low frequencies. There's higher frequencies. There's the frequency of love. There's the frequency of connection. There's the frequency of serenity. There's the frequency of transcendence. Huh? Compassion. Higher frequencies. So there comes a situation, the heart just becomes plugged. I'm just now busy with just survival. My heart is not present. I'm not emotionally present. Because the Nefesh HaBahamas has just been focused on one thing, and that becomes my entire story, and I'm not even aware of anything else. Like I wake up, I do this, I go to work, I do this, it just becomes like a computer program. I'm not alive anymore. Liboy otum legamri. The heart is stuffed. The heart is plugged. It's also a survival mechanism of the Nefesh HaBamas. And he brings a gemara in Maseches Shabbos. I think it's about the Belazar ben Arach. Look at the Maseches Shabbos. I think it's here. Kuf Mam Zayin. I know it's late, we'll mamish finish in a few minutes. Kuf Mem Zayin Amid Beis, I believe, right? So half of the Kamaisa that brings out the whole Inyan. The Gemara says on Shabbos, Perek HaChavis, that chamre de parguyusa umaya de diyumsis, the wine of a country, it was called pargusa. Rashi says its wine was amazing, the wine of pargusa. Umaya de diyumsis,
and the water of the river called the Yumsus, Kipchu Aseres HaShvatim Yisrael. It hijacked the 10 Shvatim, because the 10 Shvatim basically, they got indulged in it. Rashi says, Hoyu Balei Hanov Asukim Bekach. They became submerged in this. They were Balei Hanov. They were looking for the benefit of this wine and this water, and it hijacked their souls. The Gemara says, Rebbe Elazar ben Aruch is one of the great Tanoim. Ikla Lahasam. He ended up in this region called Pargusa, near the river called the Yumsus. Imshik Basrayu, and he became addicted to this wine. He Akar Talmudei, and his learning was forgotten from him. And when he came back to his house, he stood up to learn, and he took out a Sefer Torah, and he was holding by the Pasuk of Parshas Bo, HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem. And he made a mistake, and instead of HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem, he said, HaChodesh Hoya Libam. Their hearts became deaf. HaChodesh is Cheresh Hazeh Lechem Hoya Libam. And they all understood his situation, and said they davened for him, and everything came back to him. So HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem became HaCheresh Hoya Libam. But it's interesting also, the words, HaCheresh Hoya Libam, his heart became deaf. It was a mistake of HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem, but what was the mistake? The mistake was describing what happened. What happened was, I'm not hearing it anymore. I'm not, my antennas are shut down. You don't hear, there's a certain, when the Nefesh HaLekis is alive, there's a music that you hear. Creation is a symphony. You hear, you're sensitive to it. You sit down with somebody, your heart is open. Your presence to the energy. It's called, everyone has an energy field, right? There's the energy that you're manifesting from Hashem. But at this point, my heart is just plugged. I'm just trying to cope. You know how sometimes you come home, you're exhausted, you're tired, right? The kids are screaming. All you could think about is getting to bed. It's not a moment of presence. But what if my whole life becomes that? My whole life becomes that. The lev is atum. So now it expresses itself in nefesh. How does this animal soul live? It only pursues one thing. The only actions that are valuable are actions that will pursue the material and crass. The only things it will avoid is that which will contradict it. The whole realm of Elikus, the whole realm of holiness. I don't understand it. I don't even have a feel for it. First of all, I don't relate to it. I can't understand it, but even a feel, I don't have a feel for it. And even Poel Mamash, it's just, it doesn't mean anything to me. I stay away from it. I'm not sensitive to that whole world. You know what I mean? An example would be, right? If I have a garden here in Muncie in my backyard, but the deer come and they eat it up. That's their derech. They come in the morning, they have beautiful meals, 4 or 5 in the morning. When we're waking up, they eat breakfast. Already, they're after davening. They do before the second, they daven. So somebody decided he's going to put up a big sign. And he put up a big sign, Loi Signov. Loi Signov. Even Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noyach, nobody's allowed to steal. It's my garden. It's exclusively my garden. Lashem Aritzim Loya, and he says, this is mine, it's not yours. And I'm not Meichel you, not an Olam Hazeh, not an Olam Haba. What happens when the deer come in the morning? They see this sign, and what do? They're like, oh yeah, he's right. He's right, let's go to somebody else's garden. Then it's a struggle. No, my Yetzer Tov, my Nefesh HaLekis. You don't expect that the deer, his inyan is to co-eat. You don't want him to eat? Build a fence. You understand the vart? Another person, a person, comes to a fence. He doesn't need a fence. The sign is stronger than a fence. The fence he could climb over, the sign he can't climb over. It says in Shashirim, Suga b'sheishanim. The fence of the Jewish people are roses. So the Medrash says, Sheishanim, Sheshainim halachas. And he gives an example. He says, a chassan gets married. This is a Medrash Rabba, a chassan in Shashirim gets married. And he comes home, and his wife says, Tipas dam. There's blood. And he says, there's no physical fence. But the fence of Yir Shamayim is stronger. Suga b'sheishanim. It's a different type of fence, a moral fence. You can't expect the horse or the donkey or the deer to stop because there's a moral fence. It's not what its job is. Now let's understand, we have that inside of us. We have that inside of us. There's that part of me. I need a wall. There's no wall. I don't relate to this. That language doesn't exist. So Mela also in Nefesh. In Neshama, it's a Nefesh Abahamas. In Ruach, it's a Nefesh Abahamas. And in Nefesh also. It relates to Poel Mamish, that which is beneficial, that which is not beneficial. The Nefesh Elikis has a whole different language. It's a language of truth, of authenticity, of divinity. So he says, he finishes this sinyan. Omnam b'nechei gei l'chol ha'inyonim d'nefesh ha'bamas she'im b'chines nefesh ruch ha'neshama l'yoysim koiches pnimim yesh al ze eitzah. This is just the way we're created, but there's an eitzah. V'hi l'eitzi l'harbiz ba'ur d'nefesh ha'lekis heich m'b'chines neshama sh'winyin havona v'asaga ha'inu she'yis'amik ba'amoki yiseida b'havona v'asaga b'inyonim ha'lekim v'aydei ha'memutza d'nefesh ha'sichlis yazbiram gam l'nefesh ha'bamas. The Nefesh HaBahamas has seichel. It has what we call a prefrontal cortex. If you can get it into that space, it could listen. You have to talk to it. This is the Avodah. The Avodah is the Nefesh HaLikis shouldn't run away. It should talk to the Nefesh HaBahamas and tell the Nefesh HaBahamas, I'm here, I want you to survive. I also want to survive. Now let's talk what survival is. Let's talk about life. The Nefesh HaBahamas, once it has that safety and security, and the Nefesh HaLikis will take care of it, the Nefesh HaBahamas is open to hear all the truth in the world. It's not evil, it's not bad, it's not evil. And then it understands suddenly that its whole purpose is to serve as a Beis HaMikdash for the Nefesh HaLikis. There's a hierarchy, it wants a hierarchy. The hierarchy is the divine soul, the animal soul, and the body. And the moment you want to give it to explain the hierarchy, the animal soul is very happy. It wants to be dead. The puppy doesn't want to run the house. The cub doesn't want to run the house. The horse doesn't want to be alone. The horse wants a horse master, wants a horse rider, doesn't want to be abused. Chas v'shalom. But the horse is very sensitive. When you get on a horse, you know, horses right away know if you're in control or you're not in control. The worst thing for a horse is when you're afraid of it and you don't know what to do, and then you leave it to the horse, and then the horse doesn't know where I'm coming. The horse doesn't have that tfisa. The horse needs you to tell the horse, megate. Megaidarta, megaidarta. Then the horse will go much faster than you can. That's like the Nefesh HaBahamas. So it's a powerful horse. The Alter Rebbe says this in Torah. The horse will take you to places you can't go. But you need to tell it where we're going. And you need to give it the security. You need to give it the confidence. Yeah, I know exactly where we're going. And then the horse will go and take you. The horse is good on its legs. The horse is not good for figuring out the destination of existence. That's not what it needs. The same is true of the Nefesh HaBahamas. We put on the Nefesh HaBahamas unnecessary pressure. It has to figure out life and has to figure out eternity. The poor animal soul, leave me alone. I just need to go to the bathroom. Leave me alone. I'm good for going to the bathroom. That's when I'm good. Don't tell me to decide what life is about, but that's what it does. So the Nefesh HaBahamas decides this is life. The Nefesh HaLikis needs to take control. When it takes control, the Nefesh HaBahamas, if it could be assured, but you have to speak to it. It has a mind. It has a beautiful mind. It's a beautiful mind, but it's the mind of an animal. And the mind of an animal needs to be spoken to in the way that it can relate to. If you try to override it and you say you don't exist and you're b'chala meshugan and you're b'chala behema, bye-bye, I'll do my own thing. And you make achlata, you're going to be the most refined husband in the world, and 20 minutes later you explode in anger. What happened? Because Yankee didn't say Advar Torah by the meal. You made Achlata last night. You learned Mesillas Yesharim for the 20th time and you decided you're going to be an Edelah person. There was one problem. Your Nefesh HaBahamas wasn't learning Mesillas Yesharim. And not even Tanya. Your Nefesh HaBahamas was hungry. And there's soup. So we have to talk to it. And we have to get it. He says you have to start with Neshama. You have to talk to it. There's a memutza called Nefesh HaSichlis. Nefesh HaSichlis is a rational soul. It can understand truth. It can understand all these stuff. It can even smile. And then if the Nefesh HaBahamas takes you seriously, it can relax. And you know what happens then? What happens is it doesn't have to live in all the middos that it developed. It can choose connectivity over isolation. It can choose presence over detachment. It can choose courage over fear. It can choose trust over mistrust. Love over hatred. It could start choosing things. It doesn't want to be in a place of danger where the whole world is a crazy, sick place and where I have to fight with everybody and I can't trust anybody. The Nefesh HaBehemah wants love like any animal wants love. But it never knew how to get it. It did the best it can. But the Nefesh HaLekis always remains in touch with truth and reality and knows the truth of who you are and didn't develop coping mechanisms. The Nefesh HaLekis is not a coping mechanism. Just like God is not a coping mechanism. God is truth. It's reality. You understand? The Nefesh HaLekis is not a coping mechanism. It's not a machine. The Nefesh HaLekis is alive. It's the derivative of infinite consciousness. Do you guys like this as much as I like it? Huh? Huh? More. Okay. This is geschmack for the Nefesh HaBehemah. Let's face it.
Like
400 times the Preda. The Gemara in Erevin. The Preda, very good. Very good. The Preda taught his student 400 times because he understood how a Preda works. How a mule, not only an animal, a mule. Pered. Altiyu kesus kefered. Fered. En havin. And you know what it says, yeah? The Rabbi Marash said, what's pered? Pshat remez drush. He's missing sod. Pered. Pshat remez drush. Like he says here, Hadish ke geshmak in Pnimi Sotayra. Huh? So put him the kemaimer. Yeah, we learned it. Vayikach chasas sus. 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 It's not sod. It's 126. Kuf chavov. But pered is pshat, rem is drush, without pardes. Pardes is sod. The preder was expecting somebody to come in. And the student saw that he was distracted mentally. So he wasn't typhus it. Unbelievable. So all this has to be taught. The Nefesh HaBehemah could be very patient. If it feels safe, it will be patient. Because he was a worked out person. He was a worked out person. Presence is not easy. The Nefesh HaBehemah, one of the most famous coping mechanisms of Nefesh HaBehemah is don't be present. Because if there's a fire, you're not present. You run, you always run. I'm in a conversation with you, what does my phone say? I can't talk to you. There's no exclusivity, there's no intimacy. Exclusivity and intimacy require safety. Right? Yechidus, yachid, one. Presence. Dalef ne'miyata oimid. I can't do that if I'm in a war zone. You're not allowed to do that. It's danger. Some Nefesh HaBehemah, yeah? I'm hyper-vigilant. I'm out of breath. And sometimes that's my lifestyle. I don't even know why. So we have all these names, ADD, Shmedidi, ADHD, with all good. But a lot of it is, at an early age, I had to disassociate. Or I had to go into a place of being hypervigilant. So you give me every name in the world, ADHD. It was a coping mechanism of the Nefesh HaBehemah. Which became habitual, and then my chemicals agree, and then it becomes a philosophy, and now I'm diagnosed for eternity. Yeah, I am ADHD. Now, I may be ADHD, that's fine, and there's also Milus in it. Well, I was once giving a speech at Shabbos, and there was a group from a yeshiva, Rabbi Kalish's yeshiva, Waterbury. They were here for Nufruf, so a bunch of them came to hear. And you know, I don't always speak short, unfortunately, as some of you know. Today's Shia can prove it too. And it was a pretty long drasha. And one of them was sitting in front, right in front, and I happened to know him. He was diagnosed with every ADHD symptom in the world. There was not a symptom of attention deficit that he wasn't dying. And he sat there listening like this, glued. And he really took it in. And afterwards he came over to me. And he said, you know, you could have gone another 6 hours and I would have stayed. I said, you? You're a quintessential ADHD. Everybody knows. Your reputation precedes you. He looks at me and he says, people don't understand. If somebody is talking, and he's just talking, I can't sit for 3 seconds. If you hit the spot, I could sit for 12 hours. If you hit the spot, I could sit for 12 hours. You understand? So this whole diagnosis, he says, it's not so simple. If it's not stimulating a certain part in me, you're right, I can't sit for 3 seconds. I don't know how to force myself to sit in a boring situation. I don't know how to do it. But if you're stimulating that part, if you're going in. I'm done. The same is true with the Nefesh HaBahamas. So B'meila, he says, there's a memutza, it's called Nefesh HaSichlis. V'inyin zeh yoytzi oysi ma'amayma d'matzav shenimtze boi v'at sheyovi l'amayma d'matzav hofchi sheyivarer v'yalas en yonam hagashma. You don't only go out of that place, it's all reversed. Everything the Nefesh HaBahamas was involved in is now Kedusha. Food is not bad. Exercise is not bad. Work is not bad. Sleeping is not bad. Relationships are not bad. They're actually all part of Avodah. Now the Nefesh HaBahamas is a keli. It's a vehicle. It's a channel. There's a shidduch. There's a hierarchy. There's a connection. Shazel mipnei shenitin koyach l'neshama levaradam l'zachicham l'aloysim ha'ideza shetavet avidosaba. The neshama was given the power. Levaradam. Three words, levaradam, lezachacham, la'aloysam. Levaradam is from the word borer. You first have to clarify, like Shabbos, you're not allowed to do borer, right? You have to identify, this is toiv, this is psoilus. Sift out, borer, you have to be mevarer. It's called avodas habirurim, from the word barur, it has to be clear. This is a destructive coping mechanism. I got it. This is a good coping mechanism, right? This is good. You have to be mevarer. This is helping our life. This is destroying our life. This is bringing you closer to the people you want to be. This is bringing you further from the people. That's the first thing. Then there's lezachicham. Lezachicham from the word shemen zayis, zach. The word zich, zichuch, lezachech. To make things clear, refined, to refine it. Lezachicham. What does it mean to refine it? To refine it means you take the very experiences of the Nefesh HaBahamas, and you're mezakel, like there's a also from the word zichuch, to purify it, to clarify it. Once you are mevader what it is, and you separate the type from the psalus, what's type, what's the psalus, now you can begin the work of refining it. Ola aloysam. And then it's all sublimated, it's all elevated. Through working the avoid in it.
Gets elevated through the working of it, or once it's worked on, then
it's like we say, through all your ways, you know him. All your ways. Not just when I'm in Torah mitzvahs. My whole life, there's a relationship, there's connection. Now the heart is not plugged anymore. Because now the animal soul is not living in isolation from the divine soul. It's not like a schizophrenic, I'm two separate people. There's a constant relationship, there's a connection. That's what the Baal Shem says, Azov Tazov Imoy, Anivir Reichav Alachamayr, Koila Shatayim Melech Asar Shema B'Koila, right? All these things that we're discussing. So this is only through, you need the Nefesh HaSichlis. Why? Because the Nefesh HaBahamas could understand Pnimi Yisatayra. But you need to talk its language. You must talk its language. Yeah. That's why in Shiurim I always try to give Mishalim. Why do I give metaphors? Let's just learn the Chaimer, go on. The answer is, because your Nefesh HaLikis understood it before the Shia. The point of the Shia is the Nefesh HaBahamas should understand. How's the Nefesh HaBahamas understand? You start saying, Atzilis, Briya, Yitzira. Do me a favor, give me my phone. Let me check the next clip. Oh, Rabbi Weiwei has a clip. Okay, is there a joke? It's a joke. Okay, next. Esa Svidis, do me a favor. Let me get a cookie. Next, Nefesh Ruach Neshama Chai Yechida. Was willst du? I have a bank to deal with, I have a mortgage. I have tuition. You know what's happening in my house? Boom, boom, boom. It's very nice. If I have nothing to do, I'll sit and learn Kabbalah. I'll learn about Ma and Ban and Sag and Av and Simtsum and you'll be happy. Very good. But I'm not an intellectual, so I'm not interested. I'm not a mystic, so I'm certainly not interested. Yeah? I'm just trying to help my life and I got anxiety. So we'll stop hacking me with Atzilus, because Atzilus doesn't help my anxiety. You understand? The Nefesh HaBahamas does care about anxiety. So the Nefesh HaBahamas has to understand how Atzilus helps anxiety. That's what it needs to know. And it does. Why? Because Atzilus means that you can experience all of life as an extension of oneness. The anxiety is coming because I'm living in a very, very unsafe place. Because my Olam HaSiyah, my Olam HaTzilus are not connected. I'm living a very fragmented life. I'm very scared. I'm not present. My heart is not open. I can't be relaxed. I can't be in a joyous state. So all the mishalim that we give, that I try to give, Be'ezer Hashem, is because I'm trying to talk to my Nefesh HaBahamas. And I hope by me talking to my Nefesh HaBahamas, your Nefesh HaBahamas might listen. It might not. It might say, don't confuse our animal souls. But maybe it's going to listen. I had a Zayd, his name was Abgershon Ber Paharer. He was a chassid of the Tzemach Tzedek. So he had a minhig. When he would daven, he would translate words in Yiddish constantly. He would translate words in Yiddish. So somebody asked him, Vashteis nish de Lashon Kodesh? What are you? So he said, my nefesh HaBahamas Vashteit Beseh af Yiddish. My nefesh HaBahamas Beseh af Yiddish. My nefesh HaBahamas Vashteit Mestam Beseh af English. But Yiddish was Mamaloshen. It was a Yid from Russia. Pahar, a city called Pahar. So he said, you understand the word? I'm not davening for my nefesh HaLikis. My nefesh HaLikis knew everything before davening. I'm davening to talk to my Nefesh HaBahamas. The Nefesh HaBahamas understands Yiddish, doesn't understand the language. It knows the language, but it understands you have to talk to it in Yiddish. But it's an approach. And then how do you talk to the Nefesh HaBahamas? So it's not just a language issue. It's the whole idea of language. What speaks to it? Huh? Yeah, so linguistics is also part of the Nefesh HaBahamas. It's another subject that I could learn. Linguistics, it's a very geshmaka subject. So there's no nekuda in life that the Nefesh HaBahamas can't connect to the Nefesh HaLikis. Everything could be sublimated. That's the title, the Ani V'Roich V'Lachamar. The question is the consciousness, the perspective, what is it about? That's why the Nefesh HaBahamas is not evil. It's not evil. It exists. And it's work in progress. Everyone, it's work in progress. But it's work in progress. How? By communicating with it. How do I communicate with it? I must know its language. If I override it by using the Nefesh HaLikis language, it's nice, but you're not talking to Nefesh HaBahamas. And that's why so many people get frustrated. They learn Chassidus HaSvarim. They want to become better Jews, right? Some of you know this very well. You learned for years Chassidus HaSvarim, and you learn about Klippus and more Klippus and more Klippus and Kedusha, and then you start fasting Shoivavim, and then you start fasting Shoivavim Tat. And then you're doing these tikkunim and that tikkunim and that tikkunim. And then you come home and your wife says something and boom, all your tikkunim went straight down the sewer system. All your svarim, all your tikkunim. Your kid suddenly is having an experience, a challenge, and everything you learned, it's down the drain. And you feel horrible with yourself and now you feel guilty. So now you get more angry and now you feel more guilty. So now you start killing yourself more. At this point, you're miserable. What was missing? You're a wonderful person. You're taka wonderful person. But you need to know the language of your Nefesh HaBahamas. You need to know your goof, your Nefesh HaBahamas is responding to perceived danger. If your kid is not going to give you nachas, your family is going to be destroyed. There's going to be no shidduchim for your family. You are frightened. Your father is going to tell you that you are his nightmare. You are his nightmare. You're not like all your brothers. You're not like all your brothers. I was once in a house in a beautiful community not far from a very Chassidish community, a simcha. So the father, the Zayde, comes over to me and he says, you want to know what nachas is, Rabbi Jacobson? Shows me on the wall a letter. He has, Baruch Hashem, 14 kids, Kanai and Hara. And the letter says that we are making a achlata never to use a smartphone. Never. It's not coming into our issue. It's not coming into our home. And they all saw, all the kids sign. And the father, Erlich Hayid, he says, Das is Nachas. Das is Nachas. 14 kids, 13 kids signed. 13 kids signed that they don't have a smartphone. Not at work, they're going to use it between 6 and 7, you know, when you don't make Kiddush. But I see one of the boys is not there, one of the sons. I happen to have a relationship with him. So I asked him, why are you the only one that didn't sign? Was Felder is giving your father nachas. Everyone else gives your father nachas. He says, I was the only one that didn't want to lie. He says, I'm the only honest one, basically.
That's what he tells me. He said, I was the only one who didn't want to lie. I don't think you should give nachas to your father by lying to him. That's what he said. It was such a powerful lesson. I'm not advocating that you shouldn't sign letters that you don't have an iPhone. If you can get rid of your iPhone, matoiv umanoyim shevesachem gam yachad. You'll be, spend more time with your wife and kids, besides all the other things. That's not my point. My point is, you have to have the language, how you talk to the Nefesh HaBahamas Deguf. It has its own language. And its language, that's why the Rebbe is explaining this. You have to know about it. So you learned Tzvarim, you learned about Klippus and Kedusha, and you're a Kaddish retired, and you go to the mikveh, and it's Meiridik, and it's Taka Gevaldik. But the Nefesh HaBahamas needs to get the memo. The Nefesh HaBahamas gets the memo by communicating with it. And how do I communicate with it? Well, I understand its anxieties. I understand its fears. I talk to it. And you need to make a lakus accessible to the behemah. That's what Dira B'tachtayna means. The behemah is Ofashtein. And when the behemoth understands, ooh, then the horse will take you to places you can't go on your own. It's not just the Nefesh HaBahamas needs the Nefesh HaLakis. The Nefesh HaLakis also needs the Nefesh HaBahamas. One of the Chidushim, the Rebbe says, the Nefesh HaLakis needs the Nefesh HaBahamas. It works both ways. It's a symbiote, it's a marriage, it's a relationship. Your wife needs you, you need your wife. I'm not going to say who's the Nefesh HaLakis, who's the Nefesh HaBahamas. You'll decide that on your own. Huh? Maybe one day Azai, one day Azai, depends who. Or both have Nefesh HaLakis, both have Nefesh HaBahamas, is Mogishmak. But the point is, we need, it's a symbiotic relationship. Everybody have a beautiful day and a wonderful day. And Atzlochi Rabba. Be'ezru Hashem will continue this Maimer Monday morning 7:45 a.m. Shabbos is our regular schedule. We're going to learn on Shabbos. Huh?
I feel the same as that.
Thank you. That means a lot. That means a lot. I saw you took it all in, huh?
Thank you so much.
Yeah. I know, they made a mistake. I told them too late. It's not their fault. Tefillah Zaka. I think this is, no? Zaka, no? Rain,
eh?
Yeah. So Moira de Kavod from the Rebbe once at a Fabrengen. Yutas Kislev Tavshin Chai. It says in Gemara in Sanhedrin, there's a stid about Mashiach. It says Zoch. It says one place Beita Achishena, and so it says Va'aru Imanane Shmaya. We're going to go on the clouds of heaven to Gula. Another Navi says Ani V'Reichav Alachamoy. Mashiach is going to go on a donkey, not on clouds. So the Gemara says Zochu Anane Shmaya. Loi Zochu Ani V'Reichav Alachamoy. Ah, yeah, right. So you tied Zachu from the word Zakus, Zach. So if there was already a Zakus, so it's an Anishmaya. If not, you have to still work through the Chamar, Loi Zachu. Yeah.
Well, obviously, the Abishah was taking the insurance policy because he kept the donkey alive wrong for Moshe, but this.
So the donkey alive, like the Maral says, when you have Midrashim, it's not always physical. It could be metaphoric. So the, yeah, that's the metaphor, that it's the same Chamar. We're working with the same Gashmi. In Avraham Avinu's time, it was one stage of development. Moshe is already, before Matan Torah, is already a whole higher stage. And Mashiach is the ultimate. So you have three stages in the elevation of the Guf. You have Avraham Avinu, you have Moshe, which is already Matan Torah. Avraham Avinu is before the era of Matan Torah. And then you have Mashiach is the end goal. Over there, it's all through the Chamar.
I was talking about life.
Emesh is Avram Moshe Mashiach, it says Adam also, yeah. Adam David Mashiach. Adam David Moshe. Because David Malkim Mashiach, so you have Adam is also. Because Adam was Kailal the three. But this idea of Ani V'reichav Alachamayr is that the Hizgalus is going to be Davke through the Guf. There's a Lashon in one of the Maimonim for the Rebbe Manash that when Mashiach comes, Hanishaman Nizoynis Min HaGuf. The soul will get its nutrients from the Guf. The Shayrish HaGuf will be revealed, the true Shayrish of the Guf. So the Neshama will be now, the Neshama gets its own Mazin, and the Guf gets Mazin through the Neshama and through food, which also has a Neshama in it. Then we Neshama Nizaynis Min HaGuf. So to knock the Guf, not only is it against everything, but it's also completely misunderstanding the whole Tachlis of the fusion between Neshama and Guf.
The whole Tchiyas HaMeisa means that all the work we put into the guf is eternal. In other words, a Jew could think, why is Tchiyas HaMeisa a Yisoid in Yiddishka? Why is it one of the 13 principles? Let's say there won't be Tchiyas HaMeisa. You die, you go to Gan Eden. Barash. I understand Schar and Oynish. It means there's consequence, there's a God, yeah? It means the difference between Hitler and the victims of Hitler. I understand Schar Voynish. The difference between a murderer and a victim. I get that. The difference between those who perpetrated 9/11 and the victims of 9/11. The difference between the Hamas who got killed and innocent people who got killed. We understand. But Chiyas HaMeisim, why is that such a Yisoid in Yiddishkeit? So one of the answers is because we work, a whole shiur we spend that work with the guf, with the Nefesh HaBahamas, it's all gonna die. So you put in work for 120 years, it's all dead. It's all gone, becomes fodder for the worms. Pshat is like this. We learn about Bekama, Shinui HaChoyza LeBriyosoi, Eino Shinui. If you take in Gneva, if you steal something, you make a Shinui, so there's a Kinyan, right? You just have to pay back. But it says if it's a Shinui HaChoyza LeBriyosoi, if it's a change that's revertible back, it's not called a Shinui. So since the Guf dies, but it's a Shinui HaChoyza LeBriyosoi, the change of death is going to come back with Chiyas HaMeisim because the DNA stays alive. And the etzem luz is there. Huh? The etzem luz, menu nivne kol aguf. So it's a shinui achayza libriyasa. So even the time of miss, it's not an absolute shinui. So mele, all the avoid in the guf is also eternal. That's tchiyas hameisim. Tchiyas hameisim means, yes, I'm saying all the avoid in the guf, it's not, you just did it for a few years. That avoid itself is an eternal avoid.
But then why doesn't tchiyas hameisim last forever?
So there's machlokes Rambam and Ramban. That's the machlokes Rambam and Ramban, right? The Ramban says Rambam holds Chiyas HaMeisim is not the ultimate, but the Ramban holds it is the ultimate. So Machzedek writes V'chenu Hachras Azmur. In other words, the Chachmei Kabbalah V'Achsidus agreed with the Ramban.
So it's going
to be machlokes. So big machlokes Rambam and Ramban. And Derech Mitzvah Chetzitzis, he has a whole mitzvah that Machzedek says the Rambam holds that the Tachlis is Ruchni. The Ramban says the Tachlis is the Gashmi. The Rambam spoke from the philosophical perspective. Ruchni is higher than Gashmi. The Ramban is more consistent with Kabbalah, where the Gashmi ultimately is higher than the Ruchni. It's an interesting machlekes. It's Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. It's different perspectives. You start off with the Ruchni being higher than the Gashmi. You end off with Kol Hashatem Melech HaSara Shema B'Kayla. Whatever Sara says, you listen to, because the Guf knows better. The Rashi says that the others were tafel to the Emoyas B'Neviyas. They were subservient in prophecy to the Emoyas. So B'Mela, whatever Sarah says, the Guf has a Neviyas that even the Neshama doesn't have.
Don't we say lost love of the women will be more?
That's the same idea. Eshus Chayla Teres Baila. That the women will be higher than the men. The Keva to Seviv Gover. And the femininity will be the Mashpia to masculinity. Yeah, it's going to be dominant because the world is not going to be based on dominance. The world will be based on oneness. You understand? When the world is based on dominance, so then masculinity is more dominant. When reality is based on oneness, not on dominance, so automatically femininity prevails.
Those women are more spiritual.
Because what's the difference of masculinity and femininity? Yeah, masculinity works in the place of dominance. Ish darkoi lichbosh. Yeah, the Gemara says, darkoi shalish lichbosh. That's where layove amoyni amoyavi, velay amoyni samoyavi, the Gemara in Yavamas, ish darkoi lichbosh. Right, darke shalish lechaze. Kol kvuda bas melech pnima. The language of femininity is not the language of conquest, it's the language of oneness. So in a world of dominance, of galos, masculinity prevails. But that's galos. In a world of oneness, it's not dominated by dominance. It's dominated by non-dominance, it's dominated by oneness. So that's femininity prevails. That's why today you see that the avodah is not, it used to be, even by Jews, you can't compare Judaism to other cultures, but women in previous generations had this, you know.
Similar.
Yeah, was so to speak, a different status. Right, yeah, same thing. They didn't make, the women didn't fail when it came to the spies, when it came to the Chet HaEgel. All the major mistakes that the Jews made, the women stayed away from. By the Mishkan, they came first. They gave first. By Matan Torah, it says, the women first. So Matan Torah, the Mishkan, They were first. And the Eagle and the Meraglim, they stayed away from. That's why they came to Eretz Yisrael.
Shiras Miriam. Shiras Miriam. I'm saying
they were made. Much more, yeah. Much more.
Miriam, Shiras Miriam, the women were more prepared.
Yeah. So, but it's a b'schus nashim tzidkani z'nigla v'shenim mitznayim. But the closer you get to Mashiach, which is Aliyas Hamalchus, the more and more you see that the whole avodah ruchnis today has to be only with the women and through the women. In other words, like in a marriage, the man goes, does his own thing, and the woman, you know, takes care of the gashmis. That's not, that model doesn't exist anymore. Not successful anymore. Fakert. Because the whole avodah today is kaila shetem elecha sarah shma b'kaila. A symbiotic relationship between the man and the woman, and fakert, the real ruchnius, the man could get a lot of guidance from his wife. That's the emes. That's the emes, right? Like you know, and like I know, and like you know. Shiras Miriam.
It's like, why Yaakov Avinu, 14 years for someone, you can work for me for 7 years.
Yeah.
What do you see? What do you saw in her?
Vayiyu be'enov kiyamim achadim b'havosoy oiso. If he loved her so much, so then 7 years should have been like 70 years, not like a few days. If you love somebody so much, so you're waiting. So l'chayre, the waiting is much longer. The pshat is b'havosoy oiso. Sometimes people love her because they love themselves. All those seven years, what happened? When he came to the well, she was shepherding the flock. Hine Rachel bitoy boy matzoin. Asks Rashi, since when do you give a little girl tzoin? The answer is, Lava didn't have sons. So Rachel was responsible for all the tzoin. Later. Rashi says later, because then, yeah, Bonav is later. Then, he didn't have, so that's why Yaakov blessed him and he had all these brachos. So that means when Yaakov became, when Yaakov came into the house, he took over all the sheep. Because it says he was the Roya. So Rachel had 7 years of Menuchas HaNefesh. He was very happy for her. Understand? He was thinking about her. It was Kishmak. Because she finally had Menuchas HaNefesh, she didn't have to be a slave for her father. She didn't have to slave away for her father.
What's Yaakov?
He was benefiting Ba'avosei Oisah. He could be here for his wife. When you really appreciate and love somebody, you feel it as a privilege to be there for them. It's a privilege. It's not Yisudim. Ata mevin? Im ata ohev mishu, zeh zchut shani achol lishamesh ota. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, before he was a Rebbe, when his father-in-law was still alive, so he was once walking home, and there was a yid, a bacher, with nudge with questions nonstop. And my brother told us, he says, the Rebbe turned to him and said, "The Rebbe's a tochter vartaf mir." The Rebbe Neatz was still alive. He said, "The Rebbe's daughter is waiting for me." The Rebbe is a tachta vart of me. So you have to sometimes say, the Eibishter is a tachta vart of me. Hashem's daughter is waiting for me.
This class is brought to you by the yeshiva.net. Please help us continue the classes. Make even a small contribution at www.theyeshiva.net/donate.